All right, Baruch Hashem, it's been a good, turbulent, very hot, but I think productive week. There was a lot to negotiate this week, a lot to navigate, between figuring out how to talk to people, whether you're in the box or whether you're out of the box, whether we have a shear room or whether we have a shear field. And hopefully, Be'ezer Hashem, you know, getting a little bit of ventilation in the tent part of the Beis Medrash. But like we talked about the first time in the Shir Psicha, it really has been amazing, even over a couple of days, to watch a situation go, I wouldn't say Yesh Me'ayin, but definitely from Tayu V'Vayu, to maybe I think we're beyond Choshech, and maybe we're seeing a little bit of Vayihi Or, and Be'ezer Hashem every day should get better and better. In the Shir Psicha, so we talked about the fact that we create things in this world. We can create Chalaisin, Chalais Shavuos, Chalais Nedarim. We can create new Isurim for ourselves. And we can also create our life. A person creates his own situation in this world because of how much he wants it. And depending on how much he wants it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him the Kalim. The incredible Revolbis says, if you want to know what a person's Ratzin is, look at him. That's what his Ratzin is. Whatever a person's Ratzin really is, that's what he ends up being. A very, very sweeping statement. But we create our life. We create things. And Be'ez Hashem over here in this little bubble, in this box, we have an opportunity during this Elul to create something very unique and very special that Be'ez Hashem will never have to go through again. But Be'ez Hashem, one day we're going to all look back at it with very, very fond memories. Remember what that was and how much it did for us. Today I'd like to move on to another topic, not about what we can create for ourselves, but really what we can create for each other. Because life is not an independent reality. I don't just live for myself. Life is an interdependent reality. Every person in this world gains or loses from all of the people around him. And so therefore, especially if you're part of a yeshiva, especially a yeshiva the way that it is now, you're here together, locked in until Matzah Shabbos, hopefully, you know, whatever will be exciting or whatever, or for me, I get to go home for Shabbos. But we're here, together. And we either pick each other up, or we pull each other down. And it comes out very, very sharply in Chodesh Elul, and in this matzav that we're in right now, and also a very interesting way that when I was learning with my friend, my son over the telephone in the little box in the Beis Medrash before Shacharis, so this idea came into my head, the ha'ara that I had in this week's parsha. One of the things they have in Kitzetze is a lot of mitzvahs, very many, many beautiful mitzvahs, you could use such a word, that you can learn a lot of different things from. And one of them is the famous mitzvah, famous because of Shavuos, the Yom Tov of Shavuos. It's famous because we covered it last year, at least to us, in Tefillas HaShachar. Lo yavai amayni umayavi b'kahal Hashem. Amayni umayavi cannot marry into the Jewish people. It's amayni v'loy amaynis, mayavi v'loy amaynis. Rus is allowed to marry in. That's the Malchus, David HaMelech. That's the Machlekes that we saw in Tfilas HaShachar between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, Ashrei Yoladitai, pointed out that it's Amayni V'loy Amaynis. And Rabbi Gamliel was made to that. But why? What's wrong with Amayni? What's wrong with Amayavi? So the Torah says, Al dvar asher lo kidmu eschem balechem uvamayim, because they did not come forth to you with bread and with water, Baderech b'tzeischem mitzrayim, when you were on the way, when you were mitztayer, like on a hot day over here in Achziv. V'asher sachar alecha is Bilam ben Beor, and because they hired Bilam ben Beor, miptor aram marayim l'kal alecha. So l'chera, for two reasons. Number one, they didn't give you bread and water when you were sweltering, when you were schwitzing, when you were dying. They're cruel. And number two, because they hired Bilam ben Beor to be makal you. You take a look at Rashi, and Rashi says a very weird thing. The second Rashi, baderech, what does it mean baderech? That makes a lot of sense. Kishayisim betiruv. When you were all wrecked, you were all confused inside, you were upset, and they had no rachmanis on you. But the Rashi before that says, al dovar asher lo kidmu balechem u'mayim. What does Rashi say? Al dovar al ho'etzah sheyoatzu eschem lachtiyam. On the Eitzah that they had to make you do Averis. B'nois Mayav were loosed upon the men of Bnei Yisrael, and in that way make Bnei Yisrael sin, they're going to get rid of Bnei Yisrael. What's the problem with the Rashi? The problem with the Rashi is it's a very nice idea, but that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Al-Davar, Asher Likidmu Yischem Belechem Ulamayim. It doesn't say al dover on the Eitzah that they're going to have the Bnois Mayav be mezana with you. So what's Rashi talking about? Rashi seems to be going against the Pasuk. He's mefarish the Pasuk and pshutei shel mikra against the Pasuk. It doesn't get worse than that. So you look at the mefarshei Rashi, Sifsei Chachamim, the Gur Aryeh says the same thing, other mefarshei Rashi. They say that Rashi breaks up the Pasuk and this ends up being pshutei shel mikra. Rashi says over here that we're medayik from the word al-dvar. The pasuk should have said, not al-dvar asher lekidmu eschem balechem uvmayim. It should just simply say, al-asher lekidmu eschem balechem uvmayim. What do you need the word dvar? Zuck Rashi, dvar tells you that there's two things. Number one, al-dvar. The reason that they can't marry into Klal Yisrael is because of the vart, because of the thing that they wanted to do, because of their whole Eitzah, that they wanted you to be Mezaneh. And number two, Asher Lekidmu Eschem Balechem Uvamayim. So really, three things that they did wrong to you. Number one, the Eitzah to make you be Mezaneh. Number two is the fact that they didn't give you bread and water, they were cruel. And number three, they hired Bilam to curse you. But the hair that I had over here was like this. Isn't it strange that the way that the Torah comes and tells us about the Eitzah to make Bnei Yisrael be Mezaneh is in this little word over here, it ends up being Pshuta Shel Mikra, which you sort of just gloss right over, and it seems to be Nichlal, it seems to be encased, it seems to be hidden almost, right? Seeped in between the cracks of this idea that they didn't come after you in Lechem Amayim. Within the cruelty of not giving you bread and water, you have this idea hidden in there that they wanted to trip you up about Pa'or, they wanted to trip you up to have you be Mizana with Benais Mayav. Why did it do that? Why does it have hidden this idea of tripping you up with Znus inside the idea of cruelty that they're not giving you bread and water? I don't know if it's a right shot. Sometimes you have a hergish. But B'derech Drush, it's definitely a true thing. And it really has a lot to do with what we're going through right now. And being mechazik each other, ish l'chavera yemer chazak. I always say, I've been saying for months already, probably not the only one, Akiva will vouch for me, that one of the spookiest things about the whole COVID-19 episode, magefa, mabul, whatever you're going to call it, one of the spooky things is how much it resembles in every which way, shape, or form at Saras. Whether it be with the masks, al-safam yate, that you know, you're up until your nose, you have to, you know, you have to be wrapped, you need an ituf. Whether it be social distancing, you know, putting people like me inside of a box, you have to be, you know, 2 meters away, 10 feet away, 30 feet away, social distancing. Tomei Yikra. Whether it has to do with the fact that, you know, Mitzera, so he talks Lashon Hara, he gets thrown out of society So, you know, whatever it is that people are pushed away from each other. This week, another piece was added to the puzzle to me, Rav Shlom Twersky, Shlita. He said, he looked at the, you know, we came up here, and he says, we are on the end of the world. Like, this is as far as it, you know, like we're in Antarctica over here, of Eretz Yisrael, you know, or I don't know. Antarctica is a lot colder, right? But the opposite of Antarctica. We're in the end of the world. We're chutz l'machaneh. Talk to him when he was back in Yerushalayim. So where are you? I'm in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. I said, I'm in the machaneh HaMitzrayim. We're all Mitzrayim together over here. Chutz l'machaneh. It's like, mamish! I'm not trying to discourage anybody. What I'm trying to do, though, really for myself, is that any time you're in a situation and you feel bereft because you're far away, you can't be together with people, you have to wear a mask. I still have to wear a mask over here, or a shield, or something, right? Or both. Depends who you ask. So it makes you feel that you don't want to be in that situation. You want to be together with everybody. You want to be communicating normally. You don't want to be in a box. You don't want to be on the end of the world. You don't want to feel like a mitzera. And that feeling is what drives you to try to get closer, back to other people. Because there's a basic human need that every one of us has. I touched on it last time. Just to see somebody in the flesh, not on Zoom. It's an experience. Each one of us knows that deep down inside we all need the other person. It's called Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamecha. It's called Ani l'doydi v'doydi li. And being in a situation like this, it's clear whether it's the reason, whether it's not. I'm not a Navi. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to work on those muscles. V'nachso l'inyanenu, about our pasuk and our parsha over here. Why is it that within the context of the cruelty of the Amonim, the Moavim, that they didn't bring bread and water, the schwitzing, schwelter, slaughtering people in Achziv who were suffering so much, within that, so you have the whole business that they had an Eitzah, that they want them to be Mezaneh after Baal Peor. They want them to be Mezaneh and they want to be Chayte. So let me ask you a question. Why did Moav want Bnei Yisrael to be Chayte? Why did they want them to be Mezaneh? Because they want all Jewish people to be Rishoyim? Because, ha-ha, now you are Mezaneh, now you're not good people? No, they didn't care. They were all Mezaneh themselves. They loosed their own daughters. They could care less about that. They did it for one reason. Elekeim shel elu seine zima. That's what Bilam told them. The whole Eitzah was an Eitzah of destruction. They wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael. And l'chera, that's exactly what the Torah is telling us over here. That if you have an ummah, if you have a nation that doesn't bring people bread and water when they need it, if you have a nation who are achzorim, that when somebody's suffering and someone's not doing well, they could care less and they just turn around and do their own thing, such a nation, at the end of time, is going to not care enough that they want to destroy them. Because that's the power that we have in us. If we use our basic human capacity to help other people, so it's v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha and ani l'doydi v'doydi li, and we grow from each other. But if we don't care about the other guy, and we're achzarim, so then the other person becomes a nuisance, he becomes somebody who's in the way, and then we have the power to take it to the end, which is exactly the opposite of what we want to do. The message for us is very simple, and it's very clear. Everybody walked into this place. I wasn't with you in the beginning, but it was still evident when I got here, not just to you, but also it's to me. People here 6,000 miles away from home, in this place, a forlorn place, all out of here in quarantine, you know, and it's not the Hilton, it's fine, you know, we're living, we're making it, it's going to get better and everything. But aside from the physical trappings and everything, you know, the whole experience of going through this, being trapped in our homes, not in yeshiva, on the computers, with everything that goes along with that, it gets you in a mindset, you know, that you can be down. And the message to us is that if you're the one who's down, okay, fine. It's very hard sometimes to pick yourself up. Go for a run. It works. But if you see that somebody else is down, so help them out. Be there for each other. The best way, of course, is to be a good chavrusa. Every day that we learn together, every seder that we learn together, every shir, if it's good, everything that we do together, people will be smiling more and more, that's for sure. But people should have a consciousness. I think it's easier for the people who are here in yeshiva straight through, even though, you know, that was taxing also. Yeshiva straight through that entire thing. I was there a couple of days or whatever. It was also stressful, for some more, for some less. But people should hold on to each other. People should help each other out. Chodesh Elul is a time of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. We think of it in the terms of Ribbono Shel Olam. It always starts with Ani L'Dodi and then afterwards is L'Dodi Li. But we can only get to that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we start with the other guy first. Ani L'Dodi, I'm out there for my friend, and then he's going to be there for me. People have to look out for each other. People here together, people are a unit. And then there's one more Maimer Chazal. It's not a Maimer Chazal, it's an Arizal. The Arizal brings another Rosh Tevis for Chodesh Elul. The Arizal says, what's Chodesh Elul? Chodesh Elul is Vashem ino liyorei v'samti lecha monos asher yonu shama. It's talking about a place where the Reitzeach B'Shegeg runs away. It's talking about an Ir Miklat. Ina liyadei v'samti lecha is Rosh Teves Elul. Elul, I always say, is a monos. After all the things that we do all year, it's a place that we can run away to. And the place that we are is also a monos. It's a refuge. It's a little bubble away from the world and all of its troubles, where we have an unbelievable opportunity to build something great and to build ourselves in the process. To learn every single day and every single Seder and to build ourselves in Yediyah Satera and Havana Satera, really getting down the Dharam and getting down Shavuos and getting down Shavuos and getting down the Dharam, and they all mush into one, and helping each other out on a social level and socially in the Beis Medrash. I'm here during the week, and it's hard to be approachable in a box, but, you know, you can talk also outside of the Beis Medrash, you know, or whatever, and it's important for me to look out for everybody else, and, you know, to see, you know, whatever, who needs to pick me up that day. But if you need to pick me up that day, so no problem, you know, whatever it is. We'll come make some jokes together, go out and buy a beer. No, I'm joking. But that was Zoomsman. We could get away with anything during Zoomsman. But Be'ezras Hashem, day by day, so we're going to see this bubble transformed into something more and more special. And the main thing is, every single person should look out for the other one. Because if a person is cruel, so then that's tantamount to destruction. The opposite of that is that if a person is kind, if a person is a rachman, so being a rachman means you're sensitive and you build other people. And through building people, you give to other people. And through giving to other people, ultimately, that's how you give to yourself. Because every single person in this world is tully on all of those around him. It either makes you or it breaks you. Be'ezr Hashem, it's going to make all of us. And it's going to be a fantastic Elul. And Be'ezr Hashem, I look forward to seeing you all and continuing with you next week.